We're in our last year together in Parshat Vayitze. So far, we talked about the concept that Vayitze is only one long block paragraph, and that one long block paragraph indicates that there's one major theme of the Parsha, one underlying thread that literally ties the whole Parsha together without even having to struggle to make it work, because it's that one paragraph, and that is the concept of Vayitze itself, which is this is the paradigmatic parsha of Gullus, of exile, and the way to understand how to overcome exile for all generations. And what happened is, we saw that the original Yaakovinu goes out, he goes and he gets to Hamakom, he gets to that place which is Har Abayis. When he gets to that place which is Har Abayis, he has a dream. That dream tells us a lot about Yaakovinu, tells us a lot about Makom HaMikdash, it tells us about who his essence is, what he's going out to accomplish. We talked about the depth of the unification of Shemayim Va'aretz that happens through the ladder, that happens through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, which are his malachim, so to speak, which are coming down into this world. We talked about how it's the spine with the nerves going up and down and sending messages up and down from the Shemayim Va'aretz, from the soul to the body, and unifying the Shemayim and Aretz aspects of every single person, and how that's the goal really of what we're trying to create in this world. The goal of going up to Golos is to come back and to be able to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. We also talked about that when he's going out into Golos, one of the main things that he accomplishes is producing the Shvatim, and that those Shvatim, those children that he produces, are what are going to end up being not only 11 out of the 12 children, right? One of them is not born. 11 out of the 12 children, or 11 out of the 12 Shvatim, not just as individuals, but he's going in Ma'asev Otsivan Labanim, he's going out to produce the building blocks that will form the Bais that becomes Beit Yisrael. Right, he's going out to form those eternal building blocks, those eternal shemot, those eternal shvatim, that will eventually comprise the very culmination of the next book at the end of Sefer Shmot, which is the book of the Banim, right? This is the book of the Avot. The next one's going to be the book of the Banim and Shmot. That the concluding verse of Shmot is that relationship to Beit Yisrael. And that's what we're going to build now, are the building blocks, the foundational stones that will comprise Beit Yisrael, not only in Sefer Shmot, but for all generations, those eternal names and eternal building blocks for all generations. Then last year, that brings us almost current, we said that while we are building these eternal stones, these fundamental building blocks of Klal Yisrael, these avanim, which underlie the entire Parsha, those avanim are a little bit problematic. And they're a little bit problematic because of one particular individual named Lavan. Lavan Ha'arami, and we linked it to the Haggadah, that in the Haggadah on Pesach it says, Arami Ovidavi is talking about Lavan, Shalavan Bikesh La'akor Takol, that Lavan wanted to uproot and destroy everything, how so? And we, through the whole discussion last time, that by tricking Yaakov into marrying two sisters, he planted the seeds of sibling rivalry, which is an inherent potential in all siblings. He planted the seeds of sibling rivalry to exist within those who would produce Klal Yisrael, and therefore challenged the Shalom Bais of Beit Yisrael. And additionally, that manifested itself even in the children themselves, meaning from the source, which is the parents, comes the child. And those children, those shvatim, their very names hint to the negative characteristics that can come out when sibling rivalry emerges. Characteristics which you saw literally in the psukim of kin'ah, sin'ah, ka'as, anger, jealousy, and we missed one. Kina'ah, sin'ah, hatred. Hatred, jealousy, and anger. Thank you. I was like, there's one that's just not there. It's been a long day. They're not around Robin. That's right. So with all of those negative attributes coming out in the names of the Shvatim themselves, and we said that means that if that's their name and that's part of their essence, meaning there's a positive essence to their names also. But if part of the names and part of their essence is the source of where those names come from, the way that the Pesukim even describe those names is all being about the push and pull between the sisters and between their husband, Yaakov, Rachel, and Leah, then so too there's going to be the seeds of kin'ah, sin'ah, and ka'as in the brothers themselves, in the Shvatim themselves, which we saw manifest overtly in the beginning of Parshat Vayishev, which we looked at the Sukkim, which also used those same words. And that what then means is that while the first half of Sefer Bereishit is all about a selection process to first sift out Avraham Avinu, and then to remove the negative elements from within Avraham and Yitzchak to eventually produce the Bechir HaAvot, the choicest Avot, the Shalem Sheba Avot, to produce Yaakov, who himself is going to produce the Shvatim, that happens through the first half in Toldot. Then the second half of the Sefer is all about producing those building blocks, but not just producing the fundamental eternal avanim, stones, building blocks of Beit Yisrael, but then also working through the rest of the Sefer to harmonize, which is Yaakovinu's trait, to harmonize those building blocks and actually allow them not just exist as unique, singular, eternal avanim, but to allow them to come together and to build Beit Yisrael despite their differences, despite their issues, despite what may come between them. That that's what really builds the Beit HaMikdash itself and destroys the Beit HaMikdash. That's what builds the Beit HaMikdash and allows us to come together and eventually bring the Geula, which is the coming together of those disparate elements despite our differences as Klal Yisrael to build Beit Yisrael. And that's what in fact happens in the very last paragraph of Sefer Bereishit. Ad Kan. Questions on what we've done in Vayitzi until now? Thoughts, comments? Yes.
Did Lavan's marrying two sisters to Yaakov really start sibling rivalry when Yaakov and Esav are already born hating each other?
So we're distinguishing. We said, using Yaakov and Esav as an example, and Cain and Hevel, the first siblings, as an example,
right,
that the potential for rivalry exists within all siblings. Mm-hmm. What Lavan did was take that and put that into the finished system. Meaning there's no more selecting out. We don't select out Yaakov, Rachel, or Leah. They're all within the system. We selected out Esav. That's part of the first episode of Bereishit, is selecting people out. What he did was he took the system where we're no longer selecting out and sort of poisoned the waters. He could put that rivalry into the waters of what was supposed to be the building of Beit Yisrael to try to shake up that Shalom Bayis. Because there's no longer any selecting out. Okay. Now, we've already covered this ground before, but just to reemphasize the point. If we were to reduce the going out of Yaakov into Galut, into exile, as creating the building blocks of Klal Yisrael in the form of the Shvatim only, then we'd be missing a significant portion of what Yaakov does in Galut. What else does Yaakov do in Galut? What happens for the entire rest of the Parsha? I mean, that really doesn't take us all the way through. What does Yaakov spend the rest of Parshat Vayitzeh doing? On a very simple level, pshat level, nothing deep here, just very, very simply in the text.
Is it dealing with, like, the speckled animals and the non-speckled animals?
Which is an ancient way of saying
Getting paid,
earning a living, right? The entire rest of the Parsha is Yaakov, you know, in exile, in Galut, not just going out to find a spouse and get married and build a family and produce the Shvatim, produce the building blocks of Klal Yisrael, but there's a significant amount of the Parsha devoted to, in great detail, explaining Yaakov's acquisition of physical possessions in this world, in exile, that are going to become his possessions, his rechush. So the question is, why is that so important, and what's going on? And we even take it just to see inside of the psukim. It's a very stark shift in the psukim themselves. Watch what happens. If you open up in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Chaf Bet in our Parsha, after Leah gives birth to all of her children, and the Shvachot, so finally Rachel is able to have a child in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Chaf Bet. Vayiskor Elohim et Rachel, God remembers Rachel, Vayishma Eleha Elohim, Vayiftach et Rachma. And God hears her and he opens up her womb. Vatar Vatilet Bein, she finally has a son. Vatomer Asaf Elohim et Cherpati, God has gathered in my embarrassment, meaning I finally was able to have a child. Vatikrat Shmo Yosef Lemor, Rachel calls this child Yosef, saying, Yosef Hashem li ben acher, may God give me another child. Again, this constant struggle between the imahot, right? She's, may God give me another child, meaning Kilu, in contrast, everybody else who's already had more than one, she just wants to. At the very least, she wants to. But that's all that she's going to have in this Parsha, and again, that's the end of the 11 Shvatim that are born in this Parsha. Who's the one of the Shvatim that's not born in this Parsha?
Binyamin,
right? And that's also going to be food for thought. We'll have to cover that later. Meaning, why is it that 11 of those building blocks are born in Galut, but one of the Shvatim, specifically Binyamin, can't be born in Galut and is the only one to be born in Eretz Yisrael? Food for thought. Okay, but Binyamin is not, it's not going to be born in this parsha. Vayikashel yolda Rachel et Yosef. Once Rachel has Yosef, vayomer Yaakov el Lavan. Then Yaakov says to Lavan, shalchini ve'elcha el mekomi ularzi. What does he say immediately to Lavan?
Send
me back. Time to go home. Right, it's over. I was supposed to go out into exile, find wives, build a family, create the stones of Klal Yisrael, and now it's time to go back home. To which Lavan responds. First, let's finish what Yaakov says. Tnat nashai, give me my wives, veti ladai and my children, asher avadati otcha, for which I've worked for bahen, ve'elecha, kiata yadata et avodati asher avadticha. Meaning, I've worked my 14 years, it's time for me to go. Vayomer lav Lavan. Lavan then says, im namatatechin beinecha, if I find favor in your eyes, nachashti v'yivarchini Hashem biglalecha, I've divined that God has blessed me because of you. And we see here again, what does the bracha here mean?
Increase.
He's increased, meaning I have my, meaning my flock is increasing, my fields are increasing, meaning I've been doing really well financially because you're here. That, again, that concept of bracha, meaning to increase. Vayomer nakvasachar alai be'etena. Define my wage, define your wage and stick around. And he does. He stays around for another round of 7 years in order to then... Yeah, I tell him already. You can, and we're just going to keep going. And you just need them, not me. No. I need to finish teaching. You're just taking a picture of them all willing. Focus to the best of your ability, right? We're talking about engaging the physical world, so welcome to it. So what we're saying here is that there's this, in fact, pasuk in and of itself, which says, we are done with the stage of producing the Shvatim. Now, there's an assumption here of going back to Eretz Yisrael. And then we stop, and Lavan says no, and Yaakov agrees. No, there's still something else to do here in exile. You need to make a living. You need to earn your earthly possessions. You need to come away with something. And the question then becomes... Fine. So he needs a paycheck. He needs to have money in this world. But we could have just spent 2 to 3 psukim on this. I mean, he could have said, Yaakov said yes, and they made a deal involving spots and speckles and stripes and things that we don't understand anyway, and that get really confusing, and that I would have thought that the Torah wouldn't have spent time on, end parentheses in the Chumash, right? Try not to be distracted. Okay.
No, she got the board.
Of the board, I'm saying. Try not to do things that are intentionally distracting. And then Yaakov amassed great wealth, and Yaakov went home. Done. Instead of having pasuk after pasuk after pasuk of this whole discussion of how he acquires a tremendous amount of rechush of Lavan's flock. Not only does he get a paycheck, and not only does he walk away having earned a living, but he walks away with a significant portion of Lavan's flock, leaving with so much of Lavan's rechush and making it his own and legitimately earning it, that he earns the anger of Lavan's sons as well. Now, this is not the first time we see one of the Avot coming back from Galut with a lot of possessions and the resentment of the place that they're leaving from. Who else do we see such a paradigm from?
Avram
when?
When he leaves Egypt.
Avram Mitzrayim, excellent, keep going.
And when he leaves...
Excellent, Avimelech, when Avram leaves Elimelech as well. And when else? Yitzchak also, when?
When
he also leaves Avimelech. Remember we had Avimelech 1, 2, and 3, right? Remember we had our 3 Avimelech stories.
But that's not from Gullus.
Where there's a famine that causes them to go somewhere else, and they come out, they leave wherever they were with Rechush. I think that you're right. The Egypt example is a better example. And we'll definitely be coming back to that. But even looking at the stage of Yitzchak leaving because of famine, he doesn't leave Eretz Yisrael, but he leaves the place he's in because of famine. Famine seems to always be what sends people out of the place they are to go to somewhere else.
But it wasn't what sent Yaakov out.
What?
But it wasn't what sent Yaakov out.
Very often. Not for Yaakov, for Abraham and Yitzchak.
Sorry, the one you're trying to reference is Yitzchak.
Both Abraham and Yitzchak, all of them, yeah. Meaning all of these are situations of people leaving their place that they are currently in to go to exile for whatever reason, doing what they need to do where they are, and leaving with a significant portion of the wealth of the place that they left that they came from. If you take a look in Perek Chavav Pasuk Yubet, when Yitzchak is by Avimelech, Vayizra Yitzchak be'eretz ahi vayimsa b'shana ahi mea she'arim vayibrachehu Hashem, Yaakov is able to produce mea she'arim, and God blesses him there. Again, just reemphasizing, every time you see bracha, it's always when there seems to be this abundance that's being produced. And specifically here, mea, and that relationship to what we talked about in halakha, of mea brachot, is also going to be linked to these psukim as well. This concept of bracha being linked to 100, but for another time. Vayigdal ha'ish, vayilech haloch v'gadel ati gadol ma'od. And Yitzchak, I mean, this is a very powerful pasuk. The Torah doesn't mince words. And yet, vayigdal ha'ish, Yitzchak became great, vayilech haloch v'gadel, and he went and became greater and greater, ad ki gadol ma'od, until he was very great. So, also, a pasuk needs to be unpacked, like about why this emphasis on the greatness of Yitzchak at this particular moment. Vayilo miknetzon, v'chule, vayikne'u oto plishtim. Again, he earns this kin'ah, this jealousy of the plishtim from where he is. And as Tzippi said, even going back to Avram Avinu, in the source Galut, and we talked about how this is really even a source for Galut Mitzrayim, meaning Galut Mitzrayim is the source Galut, but the Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim form of it, one of the two forms of it, of going down to Egypt, Avram Avinu himself goes down to Egypt. And when he goes, he spends time in Egypt, and when he comes out with a tremendous amount of flock, a tremendous amount of money, a tremendous amount of gold and silver, all of these things he's walking away from Egypt. So what's the point? Why do we go out and draw out all of the possessions of the places we go to? And we see that this is a Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim as well. How is this a Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim that we see with Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov? In what way do we see this as a Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim of going down into exile and then leaving with all of the possessions of the place that we went down to exile into? There should be more than one hand up on this one.
Can you repeat?
Yeah. In what way is there a Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim in Abraham going to exile and all these people going to exile and then leaving with Rechush Gadol on a Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim level? What do you guys say? Yeah, it's like in a week, right? Everybody wake up, right? Yeah. It's in a week. We have Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim. When we go to Mitzrayim, we as a nation, forget the individuals now. Once we move to the Banim stage, move to the next Sefer, to Shemot, when we come out as a people, we leave the source Golos. We leave the source exile of Mitzrayim with the entirety of the Rechush of Mitzrayim, which is able to sustain us, as the Gemara, I believe, all the way until the times of Shlomo HaMelech. Right? If you think about it, sometimes we lose sight of it. Like when in the next Parsha, after we let Yitzias Mitzrayim, then we have Yitro, and we receive the Torah, and then Mishpatim, and then suddenly the Parsha go to the Mishkan. And God goes, whoever wants to give me whatever you want to give me to use to build the Mishkan. What do they have any gold? Where's the gold and silver coming from?
Shrine.
It's the same gold and silver that they got from the Egyptians. Where else would they have it from? Which is also hashkafically to just contemplate the fact that it's a beautiful way of seeing that even we on a national level, that we receive our wealth, b'siyata d'shmaya, from Hashem, and God only asks us to give back and utilize the money that He gives us to continue to serve Him. It's this constant back and forth process. Or as there's a big tzaddik in the community who always, when he's collecting for a very prominent and very worthwhile tzedakah, he always says, we're God's bankers. God gives us His money to hold in His bank, and then when we see somebody use the money, we're meant to then give it right back out. We take the deposit, and we also give the withdrawal. But that's the concept, meaning it's just to think about that hashkafically, of what that means, that when we get money, it's all from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's meant to go to where Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to put it to. Also to building our families, and also taking care of ourselves, but also to making sure that we're giving to the people where it needs to be given to. Yeah, Zippy.
But when Yaakov did it now, he, like, earned it. We just said, like, that he worked for it, and, like, job, everything. But when B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they just, like, took it. They didn't have to earn it. They didn't have to work.
What were they doing in Egypt?
Okay, being slaves.
Right. I think they put in their time. a few hundred years of work will earn you whatever you like on your way out if God's in control. So the Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim level is what we're coming up to, is that when we leave Egypt, we're literally leaving Berechush Gadol. We're leaving with all of these things from Egypt. And we see this over the generations. The nations are constantly coming to Klal Yisrael throughout history and saying that we come in, we come to a new nation, we come to a new country, we build up the infrastructure, we build up the economy, we take the money, and then we leave. It's a tie across history. It's something which we saw in the most powerful way, and which the Gemara already defined for us long ago was going to be the case, when we came to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael were swamplands for thousands of years. Can you imagine what it must have been like, not from the other side? Imagine to have been living in that land for thousands of years and having it be dead swampland would not be able to do anything. And now it's the seat of a tremendous economy, of financial growth, of technological innovation, of agricultural innovation, of the Jews coming in and building up the infrastructure inside of a certain inside of a place, like we did in Eretz Israel. It's very frustrating for the other nations. And the question is, why is this something which is essential so much so that in the Parsha, which is the paradigm Parsha of Galut, of exile, not only do we need to go and build a family, but we also need to go and take those possessions. In Sefer Bereshit, bringing everything full circle, and we're going to end in 2 minutes. In Sefer Bereshit, from the very beginning, we saw Adam and Chava eat from the Yetzadas Tov Ra. We then saw that we have a mixture of Tov and Ra, right? We even summarized at the very beginning of Shir, right? Adam and Chava eat from the Yetzadas Tov Ra. They create a dot, an interweaving, a connection between Tov and Ra. The two are mingled into each other. We then are required to go through a Beror, a sifting out process to find Avram Avinu over 20 generations, and then to select out Ishmael, select out Esav, to eventually get to Yaakov. There's this selecting out, this removal of the Ra that got intermingled with the Tov that we see going on through Sefer Bereshit. Yaakov Avinu then leaves Eretz Yisrael and draws out from that wives, children, and possessions. The meaning of this is, one aspect of the meaning of this is just there's an aspect of selecting out from within Klal Yisrael, a selecting out of Yishmael, a selecting out of B'nai Keturah for that matter, a selecting out of Esav. There's also an aspect of that as the generations go on, there are going to be elements outside of Eretz Yisrael and outside of B'nai Yisrael that are going to need to be drawn into Klal Yisrael. Meaning if Dov and Ra are intermingled with each other, there are going to be pieces that we need to remove out, select out from the system. And then there are going to be times that once we've defined ourselves as Klal Yisrael, meaning we spent this whole book so far defining the borders of Klal Yisrael that exists within Yaakov and his children, and that's the box and that's the border. But while we removed all of the negative elements out, we also need to go into the world that's out around us and draw in the Tov that's in the world and bring it back into Klal Yisrael. We need to be Mevarer to raise up and bring out the Tov that's in the world and bring it into Klal Yisrael. The Sifrei Kabbalah will have many different words for this and will emphasize it significantly. But on a simple text level, that's what's happening. We're needing to go out into Galut to draw in those elements, to draw in Rachel and Leah, to draw in the possessions of Lavan, to draw in the Tov back into the context of Klal Yisrael. What's the prime example of us needing to go out into exile to draw in a key, significant element to the future of Klal Yisrael, where we have to go out, also by famine, go out in order to draw in an external element that we need in Klal Yisrael?
To go down to Mitzrayim to get Moshe.
Think bigger. No, Moshe was already within us. Where we have to leave the borders of Eretz Yisrael and go to draw in from the other nations something which is going to be necessary for the very fabric of Klal Yisrael going forward.
Now.
Roots. The whole Megillat roots. What happens? There's a famine. Again, same paradigm. We leave Eretz Yisrael because we need to draw in roots. We need her to come into the system. She's something outside of her. She's to be drawn in. And without her, we would not be able to produce David HaMelech and the completion of Klal Yisrael itself. There are elements of Tov out there that must be drawn into us to be a part of who we are. Any Tov that is in Galut, that is lost within the Ra of Galut, needs to be drawn into Klal Yisrael. This manifests itself in terms of individuals, and that's why root becomes the paradigm for all converts. For those people who are in the world who need to become a part of us as well, we don't proselytize, we don't look for converts. But if there is Tova there that's meant to be brought in, it has to be drawn in. It goes to physical possessions in all the places that we go to where we're Ma'aleh. We raise up those things and bring them into Klal Yisrael. That goes into people, into possessions, whatever it is, whatever Tova there is out there, and bringing it up. That's the final stage of what Yaakov Avinu is teaching us in this process of Galut that comes after Parshat Vayetze. The last piece, the last stage of showing us how there's much Tov in the world needs to be brought up, drawn in, and become part of Klal Yisrael itself. With that, we're going to draw Parshat Vayitze to a close. And Bezrat Hashem, on Wednesday, we will jump headfirst into Parshat Vayishlach and start heading back to Eretz Yisrael.